a man who had suffered much, who was mistreated, ostracized, put on the outside, not allowed to mingle with family or friends, forced to live in the garbage dump. A man who knew great suffering unfairly because he, in fact, did not have leprosy. But he was identified as a leper out of people's fear. He comes to Jesus and with great audaciousness speaks to him. Breaks the rules of society. You are not allowed to address a person, yet alone walk up to where that person is. And Jesus also breaks the rules of a polite society by responding to the man. Jesus says, in effect, we've got something in common, you and I. And if he were asked what it was they had in common, he would say, I too know suffering. I've been mistreated. I've had people misjudge me, call me names. And he knew that it was going to get worse. That suffering on both people's part is what connects them. See, we think we're connected to God by our good works, by our kindnesses, by our generosity. It's not true. We're connected to God by our suffering. What Jesus experiences on the way of the cross, the cruelty that one human being or many human beings will do to another out of their own fears. Who hasn't had something happen in your life? You've been called a name or misjudged or mistreated. Somebody else has decided they know what's in your mind and heart. They talk against you. They gossip. Who hasn't experienced that level of suffering? And that is precisely the gift that unites us to Christ. The man says, if you wish it, you can make me clean, make me whole. Jesus says, I do wish it, you were never not whole. Just because people reached the wrong conclusion about you didn't diminish you. And your sin didn't diminish you. You were always loved by me. So great is God's love for us. But we, ignoring that and thinking we're earning our way to heaven, think that we're close to God because of our goodness. Who does Jesus talk to in the gospel, in story after story? The marginal. Those who are ostracized, those who are mistreated, those who are thought to be sinners because they have some illness or disease, and that was always understood as a punishment for God for all your sins. So they felt on solid ground, not being kind to this person. After all, God was demonstrating the punishment that they deserved. What if it was all wrong? What if it wasn't true? What if this image we have that God would punish people that way is just our fear talking? What if we are invited to understand that on this day, standing in this church, we are united to Christ because we too have suffered. And he loves us because we are united to him. He prays often that all may be one in our suffering. Don't mistake it. One person has written, You learn nothing from your successes. They give you a swelled head and lead you the wrong direction. You begin to think you've got the answers, but you learn everything there is from falling down and getting back up again and moving on. From believing and understanding that you have the ability and the courage to endure, to overcome the suffering in your life, to not let it be what identifies you. To stand instead as one who is loved by God. Jesus says to us very clearly, you want to go to heaven? You learn to love the weak, the poor. He says, blessed are the poor. He's trying to tell us that what we take as somehow a diminishment, our pain or disease or suffering, is exactly our path to salvation. You and I today are challenged to come to understand that if we choose to stand with Jesus, we will also stand with the one who's accused of being a leper. And we will stand with the one who's accused of being a sinner. Defending them? No, we don't have to do that. We just have to understand that they are us and we are them. That we are one. When Christ asks us to want that unity so completely in our lives that we identify with every single human being there is, that is a challenging request. But it is salvation. For my brothers and sisters, we all go to heaven or none of us goes to heaven. So you can't keep playing this game, I know who's going to heaven, you're not, and you're not, and you're not, but you are, and you're my friend. It doesn't work that way. No, our unity is precisely because we have learned that God loves us so much that in the midst of our suffering, He comes to be with us, to care for us, to help us to walk on, to help us to overcome our difficulties. That's what unites us. And that's a great gift given to us by the Holy Spirit, uniting us, making us one always. That all may be one, I in them and you in me, Christ prays. You and I, my brothers and sisters, will stand and sing and pray and have communion with our God today precisely because we too know what it is to suffer, and we are going to stop causing it in other people's lives. Stop causing it in other people's lives. That's the first step, to recognize how easy it is for us to hurt others by our words or judgments or criticisms. And we choose instead to stand with the suffering Christ and to not ever cause another human being a moment's unhappiness because of what we have done or said. That is the path to salvation. Can't do it, you say? It's unreasonable, you say. I'm just human, you say. You are created in the image of God. You are created in His likeness. You can do it. So if you choose to continue to hurt other people, just accept it's a choice. It's not by accident. It isn't because they caused it. It's not because you had no control. You choose it. Or you choose to unite yourself to the suffering Christ. And to say with clarity, if Christ were here today, I would do or say nothing that would hurt Him. And Christ is here today in you, my brothers and sisters. May we be one.